What Has Held the Whiting Brothers Together? By E. I. Whiting. Editors note this letter from Eddie to the Whiting Tree is the rest of the story of the looming problem hinted at in Eddie's earlier letter, and describes the unexpected solution, from the perspective of looking back many years later. Yesterday my sisterman, said a young man from our hometown had been asked to talk on family cooperation and unity. He had paid us the compliment of saying he would talk about the Whiting brothers, whom he had known most of his life, so he came to me and asked her to tell him what made our organization go, what held us together. She in turn asked me, and to tell the truth I am not sure that I can tell you. I think I know at least in part, but to tell it seems more difficult. Thinking it over, I guess the whole thing is built on day-to-day, or time-to-time incidents. Of course, we give Dad credit for planning, from long ago. In looking back, I know his plans for life always included his boys working together and with him. When the end of his life was at hand, he called me to his bedside, and asked me to try to hold the boys together. I am sure he realized I was not quite so generous as some of my brothers, because he cautioned me about being sure to deal fairly whenever we were involved. Being the oldest, he indicated he wanted me to take the lead, in his place. Then he said, if you can always be honest with each other, you will be more blessed and have more prosperity, and get more from life. I can think of many incidents that have affected our organization, and don't think there have not been trials, times when we all wondered if we should quit. Each of us brought a wife into the group, and it is a compliment to all of them that even though they did not understand much about what we were trying to do, they generally backed us up and very seldom hindered, even though I am sure they often did not understand, and often wondered, if the privation required did not more than offset the compensations. As I have already said, I could tell many incidents to throw light on things, as they have appeared to me. Let me tell one, and as they say in American Magazine, you be the judge. Remember, we had always worked together. We first built in St. John's the store, farm, sawmill, garage, etc. Then we took the Ford agency in Holbrook, and sent Ernest there to manage that. He worked hard. Beryl cooked for the other brothers, when we went to help, but they carried the brunt of the Holbrook venture. Under Ernest's management we bought a second, then a third garage, built a new building for J.C. Penney Company, Pay Dash and Take It, and a modern drugstore. In fact, Ernest was making quite a showing on his end of the business, and because it was growing, I guess we all put a little extra into it. Then one day tragedy. Ernest went to the operating table, a serious operation gallstones, with his life in the balance. Finally he mended and was brought home. He was ordered to not work, so he tried to just watch the business he had built and loved. It didn't work. More hospital, and finally they said that if he did not quit and get out for at least 5 years, he would die. His wife, with a family of small children, wondered if they would lose out when they had to quit. The brothers wondered if they would be able to pay enough to satisfy Ernest and wife, and still save the business. In fact, things were said on both sides that brought fear and worry to all. We looked for big losses, and whispered about what each should lose. Ernest was in bed, awfully sick, and of course worried. Wise old Ernest called the three brothers to his bedside. We went prepared to give him whatever he asked, if we could, even if we did not salvage much from this fine, growing, young venture. Beryl and Ernest had been on the ground, close to it, and naturally we thought he felt that, even though the others had invested and helped, most of it was theirs, and I think a court of equity would have agreed with them. And so we met, and in a few words listened to Ernest change, or shall I say guide, our partnership through rough waters. Instead of asking for more or less than his share, he, as nearly as I can remember, simply said, I guess you know what the doctors say. I must absolutely quit work for 5 years, go to the coast or somewhere out of the way. I will have to have enough for the family to live on, and I guess I have something in the business, but it would not sell for too much now, and to draw too much out would break it. Why don't you fellows take it and carry on, and just let me draw enough to live on, and when I am well enough I will come back and help. The next few years are a story apart. Ralph and Art did carry on. The business grew so that Ernest's share was more than the whole thing when he dropped out. He had lived, and those were some of the happiest years of our lives. It is hard to say who did what, but they all did a good part.